This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the main show is a Coldplay concert jumbotron, then we're the CCTV screen at a supermarket self-checkout.
I don't think we should even dignify the story with a chat.
The famous affair that happened in a Sainsbury's local.
It's incredibly funny.
It's the most interesting thing to ever happen at a Coldplay concert, let's say that.
Hello everyone. We're all back this week and we're in person, yeah. Which is odd.
It's really uncomfortable.
It's freaky.
I've sort of forgotten what you all sort of...
smelled like.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. There's a musk.
I was going to go smell, but yeah, fair enough. Previously, we were in the basement of the Hat Trick offices, but we've been evicted from the building altogether because Mike wouldn't stop talking to people about Warhammer. Mm-hmm. It's an issue.
Which I'm going to talk about at length now.
Okay, great. Okay, let's get into round one. So MPs are about to head off for their summer recess, but before they start sipping daiquiris on a beach, presumably still wearing their suits, because like school teachers, I can't imagine them wearing anything but suits.
Yeah, don't they just go stand in a cupboard and then someone unlocks them?
Exactly,
in like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's why
Starmer's
like that.
And then they run out and one of them's been eaten. That's it. It's like a way to decide which is the best MP.
It feels like a good film.
Locked in a cupboard.
Yeah.
And then they imagine one of them's been eaten.
Who would get eaten? Which MP?
Who looks the tastiest?
None of them.
I think we can get into trouble with that.
Problem is they're all on Ozempic now, so like none of them would sustain a meal.
Jenrick would have been a good bet. But
I miss fat MPs. He used to be fat MPs.
Bring back fat MPs.
Genuinely, Nicholas Soames, Eric Pickles. Whoa, Eric Pickles, what a man.
BBF MP.
He sustain the whole cabinet.
Yeah,
he would be an excellent summer. Yeah. Anyway, before they went off, there was a few bits of parliamentary action that they had to deal with.
Action is quite a
it was
action,
generous action filled. Yeah. Definitely. But we learned a lot about the water regulator Ofwat this weekend. Mm-hmm. Ofwat also being the reaction from most people, given it was the first time they'd heard about it.
Nice. Very good.
But this was the Independent Water Commission sparked by the public's anger about sewage spills and rising bills. So, Emerald, I'm sure you read the 465-page long report.
Yeah, it took me 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you definitely followed up with a 67-page summary.
Oh, yeah, that was 30 seconds on my phone.
A bizarre 67-page summary, absolutely insane. But what did we learn?
So this is the Cunliffe review. So this was led by Sir John Cunliffe, and he has basically listed a number of problems with water companies and with the water regulator Ofwat.
Aren't they changing the name, though? Isn't that they're getting Ofwat?
They're getting rid of it completely.
Yeah.
It's going to be a super regulator, which I believe was the name of Keir Starmer's favourite comic book character.
Oh, super regulator sounds like a 90s jungle MC.
Yeah.
Or something you put in your bedroom to sort out the damp. It's one or the other.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be the water omnibusman.
Ombudsman?
Was it?
Ombudsman.
Yeah. Another great superhero.
Are you combining omnibus and ombudsman?
I don't know.
Is this a complicated pun that we can't understand?
No, genuinely, it's just my inability to read.
Someone who regulates the archers on a Sunday.
The EastEnders double bill.
There we go. That's more of the people. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Archers on the bus.
You've really shown your weight trade there.
I know. That's bad.
The thing that gets me about it is like he's come out and said this, like he's like as if no one knows. As if this hasn't been going on for like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, this has been a headline.
He's like, guys,
every
I don't
month.
Know if you know this, but like the water's not very clean. It's like we know that. Why do we need another report into it? Just do something about it.
I quite like that he said water companies, the regulators, mm-hmm. and the government in the last couple of decades that have caused it.
I've got another person to blame.
Gone.
Thatcher.
I thought you'd say Fergal Sharkey.
Unfortunately.
Well,
privatisation, I guess. Yeah. She's the architect of it, right?
Was I alive in 1989? No.
Yeah.
Will I blame her? Yes.
But I did like they said it was decades of government and the Tories were straight in by saying that the current Labour government's fault for not doing reforms quick enough because they've been dithering
for a year.
Which is so good.
Dithering is the word, I think.
Yeah, proper ditherers, man.
Well, speaking of dithering, so the report had 88 recommendations and the Environment Secretary, Steve Reid, is going to adopt 5 of them right now.
Right.
Cool.
Progress.
Yeah.
In true Labour style, which they'll then U-turn on within a year.
I do like Steve Reid because he said when it comes to serious pollution incidents, he's going to halve them, which just makes me think he's in a river cutting turds in half. Do you know what I mean?
That's he's got a fishing net.
That's what he's going for.
Then he doubled them.
He's sticking them together.
It's a great one big
right,
one.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said if he doesn't do that by 2030, then he'd give up his post. And you think, it's after the next general election.
And, yeah, he's just.
And they've got a reshuffle in September.
Yeah. Giving him some job security for five years.
Basically.
That's all he's done. He's like, I'm going to have a job for 5 years.
Yeah. You're like, now I've got to wait. Got to see if we can halve it. Yeah. And then I'll quit.
I read a quote from him where he was talking about the bonuses and the pay that the chief execs of these companies get. And he said, they're a private company and they can take their own decisions about pay. But I would really implore them to think about how this looks to their customers. And I feel like, is this the most basic point to make about water companies? But is it weird to call us customers? Because we don't really get a choice about which one we have.
Yeah, you can't shop around.
You can't take your customer elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's more like a protection racket. You have to pay this place.
Also, him saying, I encourage them not to, is a bit...
Yeah.
I'm going to shock you here. For a politician, he's not being very honest.
It's true.
Because... Labour brought in a rule and said you can't pay yourselves bonuses. So they just didn't call it a bonus. They called it something else. So he's still putting paid. It's like, how did they not
Pretty
think?
Smart.
It's genuinely really worrying that they didn't think they were going to do that.
It was Southern Water. Because they got told, oh, you're not allowed to pay bonuses because there's this massive sewage spill in the New Forest last year. And they're like, you got us. And then so they just doubled the pay. So the guy's now getting $1 million a year. Exactly what
and
he does.
So like, pension payments as well, or something.
Yeah.
Well, this seems really legit and fair and great for the country.
So some people might come to the conclusion that the water company bosses should be locked up. I don't know who said that.
It was me.
Okay, Queenie's
on for it. I've
taken it. But on the subject of crime and punishment, we got a better understanding of what that might look like under a reform government with a Nigel Farage barnstormer on Monday. Yeah. Mike, what policy stood out to you the most?
Well, one really exciting one.
I love how excited you look around.
Your face is lit up.
This is the best bit. It's like the only good thing about Reform being ahead in the polls is they actually have to pull something out of their arse.
Right.
Now they actually have to come up with something.
They're like, oh, we have a policy.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be absolutely terrible. My favourite one, heads and shoulders above the rest, pun intended.
Yeah.
Genuine quote from Nigel Farage. He said, in society there's not enough fear, so we need taller policemen. So, Jack, I'm like, mate, if this podcast doesn't work out...
No one would be scared of me. If I'm walking down the street, people say to me about being a teacher, and they say, oh, students must be so scared of you. Maybe for the first 30 seconds, and then I'd open my mouth, and they'd go, oh, God, he's a soft bastard, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you reckon they'd go Cuban heels? Like, as a standard handout.
I was going to say, criminals are just going to start wearing platform shoes.
It's going to be like an arms race.
Yeah.
Legs race. Yeah.
Nice.
And then one of Reform's, I don't know what you call
lackeys?
Them.
Lackeys?
Goons.
Yeah.
Doubled down on it. And they said, yeah, it's just you can't have women going out on their own to certain crime, female police officers.
Oh, yeah, like, so they're not intimidating enough.
Yeah, genuinely. They're not intimidating enough. So they should go to things like when a kid's missing or something.
Oh, my God.
I was like, this is
setting us back.
We've got a cat up a tree that we think you'd be great for.
But this is why it's great, because you just let them open their mouths, just go, yeah. Everyone should just go, oh, that's really great. What else you got? No. Keep going.
It was Sarah Potchin, the MP, who said, I'd much rather have a big, strapping male police officer.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you think, is she just been watching, you know, too much sort of soft porn? Is
she's been reading her Dean Dorries.
She's got like a, she's on a Mills and Boone or something.
Yeah.
That's
planning
it.
Her handy.
It would be genuinely quite confusing, because it would be the line between strippers and policemen would really get blurred then. They're all muscly beefcakes. I like my policemen sort of short and fat.
Yeah, at least you can normally tell, right? Because otherwise they'd be sort of, muscly, coming in, you go, that's the stripper.
Yeah.
Now...
Nightmare.
Imagine the mix-up.
I don't think Nigel's thought this through.
It really hasn't.
Maybe he has.
Yeah. Now, does anyone remember the Tory Party?
Sorry, you have to. Were they before the Whigs?
Yeah, that's we've got to go way back. No, so Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch tried to get a bit of attention before the summer, you know, like you do, make a bit of a splash. And she went for a cheeky reshuffle. Queenie, I know you're always keeping up with Tory news. What did you think of the...
I had to dust off the old books for this one. But the Shad Cab is crazy right now.
Shad Cab.
No.
Shad Cab's going mental.
No.
I
knew the day that everyone accepted spag bowl.
What?
That shit like this
you
would happen.
That day?
When was that?
Just generally, people who accepted spag bowl, then shepherd's bush became shabu.
Mm. I've never heard that.
We had the pandemic.
Platy jubes.
Yeah.
This is shaddy.
No, shad cab.
Shad cab.
Sounds like a wine.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Mm. Shad cab is excellent.
But it is mental because I feel like Badenoch's become a Victorian gravedigger. Because when I opened the article today, being like, okay, who's she bringing back? What's happening?
Yeah.
Terrified. I was so scared. When I think she read the phrase, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer, and then ran with it. Because do you know who's back?
But genuinely, that is what the Conservatives do, isn't it? All the enemies.
They all hate each other.
True. I genuinely saw a couple of tweets about it, and I saw the names, and I was like, well, I don't have a clue who they are.
Really? Oh, because, the people that stood out to me were Chris Philp, Priti Patel, Laura Trott, Jenrick and Stride.
Right.
Jenrick and Stride were still there, and then obviously Cleverly. I'm just looking at you with trepidation because I really don't want you to say whatever you're going to say about Warhammer.
Warhammer's back in the centre of power.
Okay. This makes sense now.
Before you do the Warhammer bit,
no, go on.
I just wanted to say some Cleverly all-time headlines. Just so we remember his legacy in the government. Mm. Number one, James Cleverly claims he was calling Stockton MP shit, not the town.
Anyone
remember that?
I remember that.
That was brilliant.
He said that in Parliament.
He said it in Parliament and then he said, oh, no, I was calling the MP shit, not the entire area.
Like that's okay.
And he thought that was better.
I'm going to say it. I think it probably is pretty good for the Tories. Like, genuinely.
Yeah, for the Tories is the caveat.
Yeah.
What, him coming back? Or?
Yeah. Because he was supposed to be leader, right? He was supposed to be leader, and they messed up the votes and they gave too many votes
to
Jenrick.
Don't tell Kemi that.
The big mistake he made is he said, when he was about to be elected, he said, let's be more normal, and everyone stopped voting for him.
Do you remember when he did a date rape joke about his wife?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a normal guy.
The Independent did describe him, though. They said that he had authentic person of the people communication skills. Do we agree or disagree?
If that person is unconscious.
Who are we comparing
really communicating to those other people?
Which people?
Because if we're comparing it to
normal people
and Mel Stride and
Well, I thought since he's a Warhammer player, do you think they have friends?
That is a loaded question. Of course they do. They're the cool guys. There's a lot of communication involved in Warhammer. Have you measured that charge? How many sixes did you roll? Yeah, you need a tape measure.
There's maths. Oh my god, it's even more exciting than I thought.
Yeah. You need a tape measure.
You need a tape measure, dice, and thick skin.
And the authentic people person communication skills of James Cleverly.
Yeah.
The reason they use their measuring tape is to demasculate as much as possible when a tradesman comes in and says, have you got, I've got my Warhammer table.
That genuinely happened to me.
No.
That genuinely happened to me. A guy comes up and I gave him my tape. Where's this from? And it said
Warhammer on the side.
Yeah, it's of course I've got the official GW one.
Why? Why
I'm not a tourist.
That's crazy.
You're mad. It's like you guys don't listen to anything I say.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for round two now, where we've each brought a story from the past week that we think would be perfect for round two of the show. So, Emerald, what have you got for us this week?
I have a story that feels very me-coded.
Oh, wow.
It's about the fact that Girl Guiding UK has unveiled 72 new badges, including fandoms and laughter. And also one of the badges they've introduced is Booktivist. But watch out with a title like that. You might now be at risk of counter-terrorism forces. There's also a badge for Rainbow members for sharing their guiding sparkle. And Queenie, I would love to know what your guiding sparkle is.
Oh, my guiding sparkle. I was in Scouts and I did misuse a bow and arrow on multiple occasions and then I wasn't allowed to use any.
On live creatures?
I'm not going to say what happened.
Oh my God.
But that's my guiding sparkle.
We need to talk.
I was very influential.
Every year.
Yeah.
And we swore a blood oath amongst ourselves. Never to.
Yeah.
We went into the woods as girls and we came out as women.
I'd like to know, what every single one of those badges
I know,
means.
Me
there's,
too.
There's
well,
72, isn't there?
72.
I'm going to say, it sounds completely ridiculous.
Laughter I think it sounds badge. Lovely. Although,
a laughter badge.
Yeah, the laughter one I have that's a bit of an issue with.
You can't be getting a badge for laughing. That's how you end up with entitled people.
That's true.
One girl,
you'd be so much fun on the girl guys camping.
Well, I'd balance it out. I'd bring them down. I'd be like, "You're not special, mate. We all laugh."
The crying badge.
Might just giving out badges, yeah. The sadness.
Is there a Warhammer badge?
No, but actually, Mike, you can get badges for fandoms and also Games Master badge if you're in Brownies. So I think you would love being in Brownies.
I take it all back. This is great, yes. And I fully support it.
The thing I like about stories is obviously preparing like young girls for future life, adulthood. Because other badges they had was getting a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Which is
hard.
Most
to do.
Of what I have a conversation with 30 something women. My friends, that's very weird. That sounds odd.
What, 30? Did you just go full Greg Willis?
I don't know what I did there.
Middle-aged women. I can't get my sleep.
Looking.
Do you get a good night's sleep?
Anyway, was it women of a certain age?
No. I'm also in my 30s. That's why I'm friends with women in their 30s.
Oh, God. Okay. The lady doth protest too much.
Yeah, this is.
Forget I even said that. But the other things were critiquing food, you can get a badge for. 20
oh, wow. This is all Greg Wallace.
And finding inner peace.
That's really hard for an 8-year-old to do.
Especially with the future coming up, you know.
It's so true.
Which I would, if I was there, I'd be constantly reminding them about.
Okay, look, I have a really quick game for you, which I also think is quite hard. But my game for you is which of these are Girl Guide badges from the past that aren't around anymore and which are positions currently in the British royal household?
This is amazing.
Okay, Girl Guide badge or position in the royal household, cobbler?
Girl Guide badge.
Royal household.
He's got to be a royal cobbler.
It's a Girl Guide badge. There's not a royal cobbler. They had to cobble a pair of boots or shoes, and it was discontinued in 1978.
Because they don't need shoes anymore.
No. Walk around barefoot, girls.
Pastry chef.
I hope it's a Girl Guide badge, household, but I think it's for the royals.
I'm going to go Girl Guide.
There is a royal pastry chef position. And when I read about her online, she said she enjoys the work-life balance that she has because she gets 2 days off a week and holidays.
Isn't that just a weekend?
Yeah. A weekend and basic human rights.
Sounds great. Thanks,
even
royals.
Even we use the toilets.
Not the one for the queen.
Not the throne.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Jester.
Wow. I think that's...
I told you this was hard.
It's got to be girl. I'll go girl guide. There can't still be a royal jester.
I'm going royal household because I want that as a job.
It's a Girl Guide badge that was stopped in 2003.
They can't have fun. No more fun.
No, they have laughter now.
But not entertaining the royals.
Which apparently deserves a badge.
And finally, house surveyor. Girl Guide badge or royal household position?
I don't even know what a house surveyor would be.
That'd be like a Girl Guide badge in somewhere really boring, like Nuneaton.
As in you check whether it's got like structural difficulties before you buy a house.
Yeah. Royal household, because I wouldn't want kids to go through that.
A 12-year-old girl deciding whether you should get a mortgage or not.
Child acquired one, so he can try and move Andrew out.
Good point. But no, it's a former Girl Guide badge. They had to answer 10 questions so they could assess a property, and it was phased out in the early 40s. But they had to answer questions like, what causes cracks in the ceiling? What are the two most likely reasons for the failing of an electric light?
I think that's actually really good.
Do you know what?
It probably is quite useful.
This has just made me remember, I'm a Girl Guide Nepo baby.
What?
My nan was Brown Owl. She had that badge.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Well, she had the house surveyor.
Wow.
And that's all I know about her.
Thanks, and that's great. Queenie and I loved it.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself.
Queenie, what news item have you gone with?
So, you might have deja vu about this, but let me get to the end of the sentence.
Okay.
It's happened before.
Oh.
Someone has eaten artist Maurizio Cattelan's $6 million banana again. This is that artwork.
Oh,
where it's the banana taped to the wall. I remember covering this in a couple series of
news.
I don't think it was the first one because that was like 2019 when the artwork actually got put up. But it's been eaten a couple times and it's been eaten a third time.
It got sold, didn't it, last year?
Yeah.
Because the owner said he was going to eat the banana.
I think he did, but according to the CNN article, which was written by Jack Guy, which I really like as a name.
That is not a real person.
His parents were not creative with
that. That was AI.
Yeah, that's not a real person.
Oh, no, it might have been.
Yeah.
John Person wrote the byline, didn't he?
He took the pictures for it.
Yeah. Yeah, the piece is titled Comedian, and it was eaten by a gallery goer in Pompidou Centre.
Do police have their eyes peeled to find the suspect? Sorry. Oh. Such a
they're waiting to see if they slip up.
They did look, really but good. They just split so quickly. So.
Very good.
Oh, my God. I don't have one.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I think the artwork is not serious anyway. And then the artist was like, yeah, we replace it every 4 days anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's sending people in to do this because it just gets him more attention.
Yeah. He doesn't give a fuck. True. He's in his £6 million house, probably.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'd spend all my money on. After I've got a girl guide to survey it for me.
Thank you.
That's genuinely one of the creepiest things I've ever
And
I hope,
I hope we cut out
that earlier reference and we just leave that one in.
I personally think that's on us for creating the circumstance in which that made sense.
Yeah,
just have all that out of context. Just a supercut of me going, women in the 30s, girl guide looking in my house.
Yeah.
Thank you, Queenie. That was great. And Mike, what have you got for us?
I've got a story. That's for sure.
That's good.
That was
it's a
one
good
requirement.
Start.
No, everyone's kept it quite light-hearted, so I thought I'd bring us down a bit.
Great.
It's a tribute to Pauline Richards, who died this week. Pauline, 74, from Taunton, was, until this week, the world's longest-serving KFC employee.
Oh, that is sad. Whoa.
Yeah, serving 47 years.
Wow.
At KFC. But I'm sure I don't need to tell you guys this. You already know that, right? She worked every role in the shop, from cleaner right up to shop manager.
Oh. Did she go, from the bottom up, or did she just move around?
No, she was really bad. She came in as a manager and then her life went really downhill. No, she worked her way up. Do you know what her nickname was? She was really popular in the local area.
Colonel.
That's better than it is. It was Miss KFC or Mrs. Chicken.
Mrs. Chicken.
Which I think is if you don't know
didn't
her.
Put enough effort into that.
It really shows the clientele of KFC, doesn't it?
Yeah.
State of mind you're in when you enter a KFC. Mrs. Chicken.
But it's a sad thing, poignant. Tributes have poured in. Spud Shack in Taunton said she'll be missed.
Aww.
So that made the papers.
She'll be missed by me now, I know about her.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Do you know what she specialised in? Do you know what her Well, how she really made her name in
chicken?
Did she come up with the Zinger Tower? That would be impressive.
That would be
bargain
good.
Bucket.
Yeah. Now she had a real penchant for handling drunk teenagers. Apparently. Yeah.
Wait. So handling drunk teenagers, did she get a badge for it?
Great question.
Yeah, she deserves a badge for it. Yeah.
She's like a backer.
She was a proper local. She had a dry sense of humour.
Oh, just nice. Like the chicken.
Yeah. Exactly.
Catching strays from beyond the grave.
Just to wrap it up, one local told the Daily Star, "Thank you, Pauline, till we meet in KFC in the sky."
Aww. Don't laugh.
What? I love
Mate, you're not getting your laughing badge for that.
Finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week, and you just need to fill in the missing words. So first up, we've got Tesla use robot staff to open what?
Conversations with women.
Elon Musk's massive collection of Labubu blind boxes. I bet he has that.
I only just learned that. I didn't know what they were, and I was trying so hard not to find out any information about it.
Wow.
But I've only just learnt this week.
Is it something that would enrage me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on.
Just think of a plushie from last week, and basically that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
A little worse.
The answer is Tesla uses robot staff to open its first diner.
Oh.
So it had a diner, and basically they'd staffed it with the classic Tesla robots. So they're like serving popcorn and stuff, and people have been going and losing their minds about the fact that robots are serving them. Basically, it's a big vending machine, essentially.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible.
Well, if you want to get involved, basically you can be a diner experience specialist, which is what they had to create
them. Sounds like
this
a girl guide
customer.
Yeah, it's a housing supplier.
No, this is someone who was sorting it out.
I'm a dining experience specialist. I've been to loads of restaurants.
Well, you could be earning $285,000 a year.
What?
By doing that.
It's because they've got knives and forks and carrying hot coffee. You have to have a death wish to do it, basically.
Yeah, you come out with a lot of third-degree burns, basically. Yeah. But it's a big win for Tesla because they're safe in the knowledge that Elon Musk won't be able to impregnate any of the staff.
I mean, always stop him trying.
He'll try. God love him, he'll try.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one I spray to get him away from the rep.
That's the job that you get paid $200,000 a year for.
Next one. Two chefs break world record for what?
Saying chef to each other back and forth in a kitchen.
I love that.
Yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
Chef.
Behind chef. Yeah, I've watched the best.
Corner chef.
Is it work two chefs break world record for most Weatherspoons microwave meals cooked in a single day?
I'd love to know what that record is. And I don't know if we can call them chefs.
I was going to say, I'm going to class them as chefs.
Two chefs break world record for largest Scotch egg.
Oh, this is right up your street.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
In the world.
Big snack boy.
They made it or they ate it.
That's my rat name. No,
they
made it. They got an ostrich egg.
I've actually always thought about doing this.
Right, okay.
I'm not a chef.
You're a vegan.
I love eggs.
Oh, you're going to lose all your vegan sponsorships.
Do I have any vegan sponsorships?
I don't know.
I should.
They're going to rip those docks off your feet faster than you can say licorice.
British broccoli, you're dead to them.
So the ostrich egg, which cost £35. Don't know why I need to give that detail in the article, but fair enough. Quite like that. I guess for anyone who wants to get involved.
Yeah.
So you are fully aware of the cost.
Yeah. So we can figure out how much
the world record was.
£16,000 worth of breadcrumbs.
7 kilos of sausage meat, and it was heavier than a bowling ball. And it was 24,000 calories.
That sounds brilliant.
Can I just say... It's a little bit... When you said the biggest Scotch egg, I was thinking, like, the thing that chased Indiana Jones. This is, I'm feeling a little bit cheated.
I was thinking like this, yeah.
We're basically just like, it's just that.
The World Cup.
See, that's the sort of person who's got a laughing badge and then have gone through life thinking that that's some sort of achievement to make a Scotch egg.
Originally from Scotland, very eggy and with a sausage meat exterior, Michael Gove once described the snack as a substantial meal.
I was bracing for impact and I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
And finally, GPs to prescribe what to combat depression?
Euthanasia.
Okay,
technically works.
Wow. That's
just going by the Labour government's policy.
I mean, yeah. It would help halve the NHS bill.
Yeah.
YouTube videos of people falling over?
That would sort me out.
Mm. Yeah.
That sounds really bad. That sounds like I'm just belittling depression. Like, yeah, that'd be fine. Just give me a few videos.
We'll just leave that in isolation.
But has anyone tried it?
The answer is GPs to prescribe free football tickets to combat depression.
So period products aren't free still, but we're going to get football.
It's basically
that's fine.
Tickets for Forest Green Rovers, who are like the first fully vegan football club.
Okay,
yeah.
I've got to get
them to sponsor me. So I don't know how it's
going to
sound.
They're not going to sponsor you now. Because that was interesting, because I was like, oh, that actually makes sense now. I thought you were going to say someone like Arsenal. So I'm like, I don't know how that's going to solve it.
So Starmer's already on it, and presumably we don't know if he has depression or not.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Maybe that's been the cause. It's funny, though, there is genuinely a sister experiment that runs alongside it, where the participants are sent to watch Arsenal to see if it causes depression rather than cures it. So,
I think it certainly causes something.
We posted this missing word round on our social media channels, and congratulations to Grok the God on Twitter.
Oh no, that is a bad one.
Who made us laugh with their response when they said GPs to prescribe Labour as a terrorist organisation to combat depression.
I'm a really big fan of that word.
I think they're onto something.
Someone did point out that it's a different kind of prescribe. Mm. It's not spelt like that. So if you do
somebody's got their nerd badge.
Yeah, I guess exactly. They're fun at parties.
So if you haven't got any complaints,
send them to Chris Bryant at twitter.com.
Exactly. Follow Have I Got News for You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing word round when we post another one next Tuesday. Thank you for listening to In the News this week. If you've enjoyed the episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with 2 T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Yeah, I'm about to go get myself a podcasting badge.
You're getting cancelled.
I am going to get my, cancelled badge.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.